Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I know, she said, before you left me, you were free. So I'll just lay me down.
Sophomore record. It's a doozy. Telephone number here is 576-7798. The NFL is going to change their postseason format. Came to an agreement with the Players Association. Yep.
And?
Let me see where it is in here. Uh-huh. They're expanding the playoffs. They're going to add some more teams to the playoffs.
Okay.
That sucks. They're also getting rid of one preseason game and adding another regular season game. So there will be 17 games in the regular season. And they're expanding the playoffs.
So they're adding two teams to the playoff format. Mm-hmm. But why does NBC Sports say NFL on brink of bizarre postseason structure? Why is it bizarre? It says only one team from each conference will receive a first-round playoff bye.
Which means the other six teams would have to play each
other. They would have to play each other.
So there's not going to be two byes like there normally has been. Hmm. So the top team, in this case, I believe it would have been in this past season in the AFC, the Baltimore Ravens would have received the bye, and the Chiefs would have had to have played.
Okay.
In the first round. Now, granted, the Chiefs would play team number 7 because they were number 2.
This says the restructuring gives the number 1 seed a huge advantage as the only team to get the wild card weekend off.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. The last 14 Super Bowl teams have all had a first round bye.
Yeah, because they were either the Chiefs or the Patriots, pretty much.
Huh.
And the Eagles.
Okay.
I don't like it.
I never paid attention to it anyway, so it doesn't make any difference to me.
Did you hear this? There's this talk with Major League Baseball, and I know just enough to be mildly dangerous. I don't know that I'm going to get this 100% right. But there's talk in Major League Baseball, expanding the playoffs, which I'm totally against. And I think most, and I'm not a purist, but I think most baseball purists would be against it. And the number one team in each league gets to pick the team they play in the first round. So it wouldn't be 1 versus 6 or 2
right.
versus 5 or 3 versus 4.
You get
four.
A pick?
And they want to create, the way I understood it, I was watching Stephen A. Smith and that Max guy on
the God, he drives me
Sports
crazy.
Center. Yeah, he's a maniac, but he's entertaining nonetheless. A maniac, but entertaining. And I think they were talking about it the other day. I think it was them. Anyway, Major League Baseball, the way I understood the conversation, wants to create almost like a reality show.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
A reality show where the top-ranked team in each league would then, on live TV, and correct me if I'm wrong, guys. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, and so be it.
But it's going to end up the same anyway, because you're going to pick statistically the worst team to play anyway, aren't you?
Well, but just because you're the last team in that or you're the best team in that division doesn't mean, you know, maybe you had stronger competition through the years or through the year, and so your record isn't as good. But you're the best team out of a weak division. Well, we'll take the best team out of that weak division, not the worst team or the best team out of the hardest division. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And the way I understood it, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, is that there would be this TV show.
Oh, God.
You know, kind of like where, like the NCAA does the Field of 64 kind of thing, or 68 now, and the top team would just on live TV pick the team that they want to play in the first round of the playoffs.
The Bachelor MLB Playoff Edition.
But
will you accept this rose?
But you have.
Do I have a choice?
You have travel concerns. You have scheduling concerns.
I think it's dumb. And if I got that wrong, you guys let me know. But that's kind of the way I heard it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right, Texter. More regular season games and more postseason games mean ching, ching, ka-ching.
Back to football. Did you see that there was a player arrested for...
It wasn't a player. He's very well known.
A grown person-sized... cache of marijuana.
157 pounds.
What?
At the U.S.-Mexico border.
Yeah. Here's the funny thing.
Tell
him the name of the player. He's a well-known player.
Greg Robinson. Yeah. I don't know where you would find 157 pounds. I don't know how you would store or think in a million years you're going to get across the border with what I imagine to be an enormous, you know... cash of marijuana. I don't. There's not another word for it. Mm-hmm. Cash.
Well, by cash, I meant C-A-C-H-E.
Yes, so did I.
Okay.
NFL offensive tackle Greg Robinson and free agent wide receiver Quan Bray were arrested at the checkpoint near the United States and Mexico border this week. The statement alleges they were in possession of 157 pounds of it. Here we go, which was stored inside several large duffel bags in the rear cargo area of a vehicle, because they never checked the rear cargo area of the vehicle, sir.
Don't know how it got there.
So this was in the United States, not at the border.
At the border. You come back in,
here's the tricky thing. They were traveling from Los Angeles to Louisiana.
Yeah, so the I-8 runs very close to the border. And so there are random stops along I-8 where, hello, are you a U.S. citizen? Oh, don't mind the dog behind your car. He's just smelling around.
What's going on in that
back quarter
panel?
Okay, have a nice day, sir. Thank you so much. Or, the dog sat. Sir, would you like to open your trunk, please?
No.
What's in the duffel bag, sir?
Dead body? Because that's...
Right?
That would be a better thing.
Going to be less questioning from that.
157 pounds of something. We're not sure what's in there. Why would you do that?
When you're an NFL football player, I don't know. Don't you remember back in the 90s, Tamarick Vanover and Bam Bam Morris? I covered their trial.
And to my point, there aren't easier ways to acquire what they were trying to acquire than roaming around in a car with it near the border. How does he have concussive issues?
CT, I don't know.
I'm asking, seriously.
Sam, will you look up online the street value of 157 pounds of marijuana?
Maybe they weren't selling it. Maybe they were just getting ready for a
big
party.
That's not personal use.
A really big party.
Well, personal use.
I don't know what personal use is, but you don't fit it into like 12 duffel bags.
Personal use if you want to smoke marijuana till the day you die.
Funny thing, when you type in street value into Google, the first thing that pops up is of 157 pounds of weed.
So what's it worth?
Anywhere from $300,000 to $750,000, depending on where you're at.
Okay.
That's like 10 game checks for this guy.
He needs a few bucks.
Then play another game.
Okay.
You got one coming.
Well, not anymore.
Yeah, right. I just simply don't understand these people.
Does he get kicked out for that?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know why?
Because it's going to free agency.
It's hard. No, it's hard to play football when you're in prison. Ask Michael Vick.
Really?
Oh, duh. 157 pounds is probably
he's going to prison.
Probably federal.
Gridiron gang.
Got it.
And it's federal because. They left California.
They were on an interstate?
Crossing state lines
with weed
an illegal substance.
And the federal government, having covered several federal trials, if you think the state government's tough, you ain't seen nothing.
Here's what I will never understand about that amount. You have heard that there have been people arrested for having an edible on their way back from Colorado.
Which is dumb.
You would have to, and I agree that that's ridiculous.
Anybody who gets caught with an edible... is dumb at trafficking drugs.
You would have to know.
Eat it.
They're bringing it back for use here.
Eat it now.
All of it? Really?
There's a cop behind you. Eat it now.
Okay, super troopers. These schnozberries taste like schnozberries.
Greatest movie of the last few years. Oh, Rebecca, you were out of town. So, when you were out of town, I think you were out of town when I went to go see Bad Boys and was like railing about how great it was.
No, I was here when you were railing about how great it was.
Yeah. So, when you were gone, Dana took her son to go see it.
Okay.
And she walked in like a bitter, angry...
She was going to hate it, wasn't she?
Already predisposed. I'm going to hate this stupid...
I mean, we had the theater to ourselves.
...action-packed movie. Dana?
Hey, Scott. This is Willem. My mom comes into work tomorrow and says that she didn't love Bad Boys. She is 110% lying. I have never heard a woman crackle so loud.
All right. It was fine.
Stop. So I'm playing it again. Wait, stop it. Do not interrupt your son. Play it back, please.
Hey, Scott, this is Willem. If my mom comes into work tomorrow and says that she didn't love Bad Boys, she is 110% lying. I have never heard a woman crackle so loud inside of a movie, especially when the guy goes, he puts on his glasses and he goes, this HD. My mom jumped out of her seat and started dying laughing, and the whole movie looked at us. Whatever happens, don't let her come into work tomorrow and say that she didn't love Bad Boys. And that it wasn't an Oscar-winning movie.
It was really entertaining.
Was it Oscar-worthy?
No, it was not Oscar-worthy.
Yes, it was.
Let's just simmer down there.
Yes, it was.
But it is really funny. A ton of stuff blows up. And Rebecca, it is shot on the same street, a half a block down from where I stayed in Miami for the Super Bowl weekend. Mm-hmm. It's all shot right there.
Makes
sense now that Will Smith lives in Miami. Mm-hmm. It was worth the $8.
Oh.
Yeah.
More than that.
So this is a run, don't walk.
You need to understand that you don't go in expecting, you know, this isn't like The Crown. But it is very funny. And I don't hate all action movies. The Equalizer is one of my favorite movies of all time.
That's a good one. Let me tell you this, and I've seen both of these movies just once, but if you said to me, Scott, you have to go, or you could go see Rise of Skywalker or Bad Boys for Life, I would go back and see Bad Boys for Life.
Oh, that's saying something.
Yeah,
right
it
there.
Is. Yeah, it is, because I'm a super Star Wars freak. And I'll go back and see Rise of Skywalker, but I can't wait to see Bad Boys for Life again. That was the best Bad Boys movie, and it was fun, and it was funny. And lots of S blows up. Lots.
A lot.
A lot.
A lot. So I'm glad we got Scott in a good mood, because the next story.
Oh, well, gosh.
It's going to put him in a bad mood.
There's not enough time to get to that, so we'll do it right after the 3:30.
If you want to watch that vein,
stick around, kids. It's going to pop.
It's going to explode like the set of Bad Boys 3.
Proof that there is a God.
That was a stretch there.
Proof that there is a God. NASCAR driver Ryan Newman walked out of a hospital yesterday with his two kids holding his hands. How about that?
Oh, that picture with his two little kids.
How about that? Walked out of the hospital on his own. That's fantastic. God bless him.
She doesn't own a dress. Hair is always a mess. If you catch her stealing, she won't confess. She's beautiful. Smokes a pack a day. Wait, that's me. But anyway, she doesn't care a thing about that. Hey, she thinks I'm beautiful. Meet Virginia.
Bum.
Train. Speaking of Virginia.
Bum.
When you're ready for the vein to pop out of my head. Get ready. From the Stop the Planet I'm Getting Off file.
Are we live videoing this?
No, we're not going to live video this. <clears throat> stop. I need to focus.
Oh, yes, you do.
A student at the University of Virginia has faced threats after a now viral video appeared to show her telling fellow students that there were too many white people in a multicultural space on campus. University of Virginia President Jim Ryan, writing in the Cavalier Daily, the university student newspaper, that the student in the video has faced vitriol and physical threats since appearing in the video. I cannot condone that, by the way. In addition to racist comments toward the student involved and students of color in general. In the video, she is seen standing in the school's newly expanded multicultural student center on campus. And she says, and I quote, "If y'all didn't know, this is the MSC. And frankly, there's just too many white people in here. And this is a space for people of color. So just be really cognizant of the space that you're taking up, because it does make some of us POC, I don't know, oh, people of color,
well, yes,
uncomfortable when we see too many white people in here. It's only been open for 4 days, and frankly, there's the whole university for a lot of y'all to be at, and there's very few spaces for us. So keep that in mind. Thank you." Students are then heard applauding the student at the end of the clip. She's about as dumb as the day is long.
What?
You not knowing what POC meant was one of the whitest things you've ever read on this program.
Well, I have a plaque from the NAACP.
Right, that they should resend.
So tell me more about how white I am. She is dumb.
I can't believe that students applauded her.
This has sparked a very interesting debate online. Is it okay? Let me rephrase, because of course it's okay. You're paying to be at the university. This is a public building. You can go in. But should the multicultural center and those types of buildings on campus be reserved for predominantly people of color?
No. Do I not have a culture?
I don't know what I would call your culture, Scott.
White.
Isn't it good if lots of other cultures want to be a part of a multicultural organization?
It's a multicultural center. I have a culture. She has a culture.
Which is different than having culture, so we're clear.
We all have culture, so let's multiculture with each other one.
It's not a no white people center. It's a multicultural center.
I am so sick and I almost said GD. I am so sick and tired of this safe space mentality. Let me read this part again from her statement. "There's the whole university for a lot of y'all to be at, and there's very few spaces for us, so keep that in mind." Are black people forbidden from walking the campus at the University of Virginia?
No.
Because if so, we need to start an investigation.
No. What she is saying is this is supposed to be a place for us.
Then call it the Black Center. Don't call it the Multicultural Center. Or call it the Black, Asian, and Hispanic, but anybody who's not white, center.
Super wordy, but effective.
Wordy. I don't know that it would fit, but it is a little wordy. I'll give you that. I am so sick of these people who think that there are certain spaces, and I don't care if you're white, black,
you're
Asian.
Saying because they use the word multicultural that should include white students. I'm
Everyone?
Just asking.
Multiple cultures.
Yeah. Multi means multiple.
What about the Black Student Union? What if there's a Black Student Union?
Well, that's totally different.
Can I? Whoa.
See, Scott would disagree with you there too. Scott would say if it's a Black Student Union, everyone is welcome at the Black Student Union.
Just because I'm white, I can't go into the Black Student Union? What, is there going to be a color test? Because if I have to bring my 23andMe, I am 0.3% black. You better let me in.
The video
Dana's
was tweeted.
Only 0.2% black.
The video was tweeted by the Young Americas Foundation, which blasted the students' behavior, the black girls' behavior, not the other kids sitting there, as quote, racist intolerance rather than inclusiveness befitting of a university setting.
I think she should be ashamed of herself. This is a multicultural center. In other words, it is a student union.
The UVA president is weighing in.
I know. And by the way, I am anybody who is threatening this woman with death threats
well,
and violence.
Well, nobody should be threatened over a disagreement over something like this.
Shame on anybody who's doing that, by the way.
I believe deeply that we need to build a community that is not just diverse, but also inclusive in order to foster the diversity of experience and ideas that make UVA a great and good place to study and work. These centers are open to all members of the university community.
And I go back to something I think I said earlier this week on a topic that was similar but different, if you will. It always bothers me that the people who preach the most about inclusivity are the ones who are the least inclusive. I guarantee you that this young lady, I don't know that her name is
She has not been identified, okay. I don't believe.
And probably for good reason.
Yeah.
I would imagine that this young lady would tell you from the top of her voice, we should all be treated equally. We should all consider inclusiveness, unless you're white. And if you're white, don't come into this building because this is the multicultural center minus white people. So if you're brown or Asian or black, you are welcome. But if you are white, we don't want to multiculture with you. How can you defend this?
I'm not. I think everyone should be able to hang out on their campus where they choose to hang out.
It sounds to me like multicultural center, by the way, is a really long word for, or words for saying student union.
Yeah.
It's a place where the students can just hang out. That's what we call the student union. But it's what universities do to say,
no,
we're trying
no,
to
because
change
these,
the
no,
atmosphere.
Scott, these universities have, KU does a multicultural affairs office. There's a multicultural center. That's different than the union. This is different than the union.
So if you work in the multicultural office, do you have to be black?
I don't know. I would guess not.
Okay. But that'd be like saying if you're not Hispanic, you can't join Spanish Club.
Right.
That's not what Spanish Club is about. Spanish Club is about speaking Spanish with fellow Spanish speakers and learning about the Spanish culture.
Or like you have to be Russian to be on the chess club. I mean, come on.
Right.
Really?
I don't know how that wouldn't.
They're really good at chess.
Oh, okay. Sure.
These are people that if I was walking down the street, I would kick them. I just would kick them.
No, you wouldn't. You would not do that because that's battery. I would not do that.
Okay, fine. I would think about kicking them, but I would not. Because they're too dumb.
You don't think that it's at least important that this has opened a debate about this?
The only debate it's opened is how dumb is she really? The multicultural center is not effective because white people walk in there? And y'all got
what she said
the whole
was
campus?
There are too many white people in here.
Define too many.
I don't know. You would have to ask her.
I don't want to ask her because I'm afraid I'd get dumber.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. You printed this story for a reason. You printed this story because you knew it would make me mad. Am I wrong?
I knew it would spark robust debate.
You printed this story, and I guarantee you, Sam, I wasn't even there in the newsroom when she saw this
now
story.
Now listen.
No, wait.
No.
Yes.
Because I want to read to you the definition of the multicultural center in Virginia, okay?
You're doing this.
They call it the MSC, and I think this might change the debate slightly. The MSC offers a space for marginalized or underrepresented communities, which represent roughly a third of the university community. I'm going to say that again. The multicultural center offers space for marginalized or underrepresented communities. In what way does a white student on a college campus, in what way would that student be categorized as underrepresented or marginalized?
Tell me why that has to be the definition for a multicultural center.
Yeah, that sounds like segregation to a T.
Mm-hmm.
They are offering a space, and I agree with this, Scott. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that you exclude white kids.
Well, that's what it sounds
like. But if this
like
is a space
saying
for kids who feel like they are underrepresented, I don't know on many college campuses that white kids are necessarily underrepresented.
Why do you need a space for people to harbor with one another?
Colleges offer spaces for all kinds of communities.
Yeah, they're called locker rooms.
No, 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 that's not what I'm talking about.
I mean, at Johnson County Community College, we had an honors lounge. And if you were in the honors school, you could go there and do your homework and whatnot.
But where do the dumb kids go?
Right, where are all the dumb kids?
They had to sit in the library by themselves. No, that's what I was about to say. We didn't turn people away who weren't in the honors program. We said, hey, what are you doing here? What do you need? And people came to us for help with classes and whatnot.
Somebody brings up a great point on the text line. What if I am white, but I am gay?
Then you could successfully argue that you may be underrepresented. And to my point about colleges offering these spaces, there are LGBTQ spaces on campuses now. There are safe places for kids on campuses all over America, as there should be.
But what does a safe space mean? You're not under attack on a college campus.
But you're not. Oh, Scott. Oh. I've had this conversation before. Those spaces are not necessarily for the kid who grew up in New York City or Los Angeles or Kansas City. And not that I'm saying those kids had an easy road here. They are also trying to include, with inclusion, the kid who is coming from rural America, where that life,
I guarantee you,
in some communities was not embraced. They are opening these spaces for every kid across America, not the kid who grew up in a big city where you're like, well, didn't they have that in their high school? Didn't they have a club?
I would be willing to bet my next paycheck, my next two paychecks, that this woman who is unidentified, for obvious reasons, I guarantee you she is not from rural Virginia. She's a big city student who is just trying to make a stink because
she doesn't mean they're not underrepresented on a college campus.
She doesn't like white people.
No, it doesn't mean that there's not underrepresentation.
She doesn't like white people.
You don't know that. She didn't say, excuse me, I don't like white people. She said there are too many of them. This is a multicultural. There's too many of them in here.
Too many white people in here.
You ain't got to go home, but you can't stay here.
Where are all the white women at? Apparently they are all in the multicultural center right now.
Man. No, they're not. Or they better not be. Damn it. 576-7798.
I saw her today at the reception. A glass of wine in her hand. I knew she was gonna meet her connection. At her feet was a footloose man. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want.
Telephone number here is 576.
You can't always
7798.
Get what you want.
Chris in Kansas City. Hello, Chris.
How you doing?
I'm doing well.
I don't remember which one it is of you that said it, but I heard the word segregation.
Hey, whoa. Oh. I can hear the song in the background. Can you turn it down?
It's not on at all.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Maybe I'm just going crazy or that's the voices in my head. Sorry.
I don't know. Anyways, I heard the word segregation, and that's exactly what I was thinking. As soon as you start saying that any one culture, any one group of people can't be there or shouldn't be there, you are breaching on segregation.
True.
And what's so ludicrous about this is that African-American people especially fought to get away from segregation for so long. And here they are. We have they have one of them, their people right now asking for it again. And it boggles the mind that she didn't even think about what she was saying before she said it. I mean, I understand, again, if they want, you know, a space or something that is more cultural for them, that's fine. That's not the question. It's just you can't start telling people just because it's that way that those people can't be there. Because, again, I can't remember which one of you said it. What if they want to be more involved with those cultures? I mean, you're totally assuming that the people are there just because they're, you know, they're trying to ruin your space or something. And it just, it boggles the mind.
Yeah, the one thing I kept thinking about when I was reading the story, Chris and Dana, is if you don't want white people in your multicultural student center, then don't complain that you're not understood. Don't complain that people don't realize the struggle.
Exactly.
I don't think just having white people in a multicultural center necessarily makes them realize the struggle.
Well, they're not there to burn a cross. They're there to learn, I would presume.
Or to study. Or to hang out.
Or to get to know people from, God forbid,
other cultures.
A different culture. So it would be hard for me to accept somebody of a race of color, if you will. Not that white's not a color, but you get my point. To say, well, you know, we're just completely marginalized, we're not understood, but don't come in here. Well, how am I going to understand, quote, the struggle, quote, what you go through,
right,
if you don't want me to come in and learn? I mean, Chris is right. This is in itself segregation. We want to be away from people who are white. We are segregating ourselves away from people who are different than us. Now, you're brown? Oh, you're Asian? Come on, come on. Hurry.
What would the reaction have been?
Lock the door. Get in.
If the table were turned in this situation.
I understand your point. You could do that 1,000 times over. What if there was a white entertainment television? What if there was a white student union? I don't like that argument, but... And I try not to use that argument, but if you want to be understood and you feel like you're misunderstood, or you want people to recognize what you're going through, the worst thing you can do is isolate yourself from educating the very people you claim don't understand you.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.